This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Someone post on social media about their chronic OCD because they're really eager to keep their room clean. Or maybe someone posts about study tips because they have a terrible attention span automatically caused by ADHD. It is common for people to create content on socials about their own mental health nowadays to raise awareness and reduce stigma. However, some people are incorrectly diagnosing themselves with conditions based on viral videos and internet checklists. This can lead to increased misinformation around serious mental health issues and trivialisation of legitimate symptoms. To talk more about this, psychotherapist Chloe Callanan from RUL Therapy joins me now. Chloe, thanks for joining me on the show. This conversation around mental health and social media, it seems to have really intensified lately. Why do you think people are talking about it so much right now?
Hello, and thank you so much for having me back. Yes, of course, look, there's a lot of noise on social media lately around mental health and creators. And I think perspectives are definitely like varied, especially when we see the vast array of voices contributing to the conversation and chiming in on the topic of mental health on social media nowadays. And look, I think we're in an age where we understand just how important the correct mental health care is, which is brilliant, and just how dangerous the wrong information may be, or, you know, maybe if there's vulnerable listeners or people consuming that content, you know, it's very important to pay attention to the way in which information may be communicated or who in fact is communicating that information. So I think a lot of people are now just seeing, say, the likes of Australia even banning social media for younger users under 16. I think maybe people now are looking at social media and really critically analysing, you know, is this the correct information or the correct way we should be going about things in general, maybe not even just social or just mental health. But I think a lot of people are questioning that now.
They definitely are. There has been speculation even from people thinking, is mental health becoming a trend for people to talk about online? And one of the biggest concerns that people raise is around self-diagnosis through TikTok and short-form content and things that you see, these internet checklists that someone else is posting. Why can that become problematic?
Oh my God, like as a therapist, you say that and I'm like, oh God, no, that even breaks me out in the hives even hearing that. Look, when it comes to mental health diagnosis and in the realm of psychological diagnosis, it's an extremely methodical and investigative procedure. It is not something that's done in the span of what, 1 minute? How long is short form content nowadays? Is it even a minute? There's many varying social, emotional, personal, psychological, economical factors that, you know, will contribute to a person's diagnosis. And look, we diagnose in conjunction with what we call the DSM-5, which is basically it's the diagnostic and statistical manual. So it is basically an instruction manual as to how to diagnose correctly for a specific person and all their own personal ties to what they may be diagnosed with. So self-diagnosis is quite problematic as it doesn't give us a well-rounded view of what might actually be going on underneath the surface or what might actually be needed in terms of, you know, a treatment plan or, you know, day-to-day care with the correct professional. So anyone listening, I would definitely stay far away from self-diagnosis as possible, if at all possible.
On the flip side, though, people will argue, and in a lot of cases, content that you see online about mental health seems to be sometimes casting quite a destigmatizing lens on mental health in general. If you see a post of someone talking about their dealings with ADHD when they have legitimately been diagnosed, sometimes people will feel more increased validation. But also this side of it now, where people are self-diagnosing perhaps themselves and then posting about it and things like that, is that kind of a more negative side of talking about mental health online?
Yeah, I suppose we're seeing the yin and yang effect now, aren't we? Like, as you said, social media has definitely shone a fantastic light on mental health. And I love that you even say ADHD, because I've shared content around my own ADHD journey purely in the hopes that, you know, someone might see it and it might resonate or it might help them. Or even like that, if they see something that, you know, I have said, they might think, oh, do you know what, I might look into that because that resonates. And then ultimately that might lead them to getting an ADHD diagnosis if that's what helps them in their life. But the important part there is that there is that kind of filter between, say, us as a consumer and the content, to really sit there and think, God, is this, you know, is this actually resonating with me? Is this something I can interpret, instead of actually just welcoming in that information, you know, without any, you know, questioning spirit towards it, I suppose. But, you know, the negative may lie in, you know, what information are we consuming, and what maybe vulnerable users or social media users are taking in that information, and how they might be utilizing it. But, you know, I think that's a conversation we could have until we're blue in the face. Like, we're seeing both sides of it, of course.
Who would be the most vulnerable to content like this? Would we say it's younger people in particular?
Do you know what? I actually don't think there's any, like, one particular category I could go and label as the most vulnerable. I think many of us will fall victim and fall vulnerable to certain types of content on social media. For some of us, it might be mental health. For others, it could be something completely different. I will say, though, with younger people, especially like young in terms of like kids, teenagers, it's very important to know that they're still in their youthful mindset. You know, the critical thinking skills are still being developed. The brains are still being formed. The sense of self is still being, you know, figured out and solidified. So younger people may not have the ideal skill level to observe the information that they're receiving and critically evaluate whether that is something they want to welcome into their lives or not. So, you know, they might take the wrong information and run with it, God forbid. But, you know, here is where we may consider who or even which platform or creator young people are obtaining this information from. You know, is it a healthcare professional trained in supporting young adults in their mental health education? Or does it happen to land on, you know, a young person's algorithm and it's from an influencer that they absolutely adore and idolize, and frankly so, for the right reasons. You know, if that influencer, you know, maybe talks about their mental health journey, you know, that young, maybe vulnerable consumer may take that and run with it, and it might have the most beneficial effect on them. But look, I think we can all fall victim in some way, shape or form. But I would say, you know, there has to be that safety measure put in place around maybe younger adults.
There needs to be that step after they've seen something on TikTok, where they actually go and get assessed and they have proper medical advice on it. I know there's been growing conversation about people potentially exaggerating or performing their struggles online. Why do you think that social media can sometimes encourage that behaviour and maybe feed into that narrative that mental health for some people is becoming like a trend that we're putting online now?
Yeah, I think, look, as someone who is a mental health professional myself, and I have a social media platform, I can say that, you know, social media, when my analytics come in at the end of the week or the month or whatever time frame you want to look at it, content on social media is rewarded and creators are rewarded in terms of watch time and in terms of engagement. So how long is someone watching your video for, and how are they engaging? Are they liking it? Are they commenting on it? Are they sharing it? Because we have to remember, the likes of Instagram and TikTok, their goal is to keep people on the platform. So naturally, if we watch a TV show in the evening and it's really dramatic and there's so many plot twists and turns and dramatic characters, we're going to be engrossed and we're going to want to watch it next week. The same happens with social media. It's just a different form of content. So like that, then if a video is more dramatic, if it's more, you know, talking about things you don't normally hear or see or talk about or showing things like that, you know, it's going to be pushed out to more viewers. It's going to be pushed out to more people to look at. And then from a creator point of view, how are you rewarded then? You're rewarded with more followers, with more opportunities. You're rewarded with more maybe brands coming to you, offering you opportunities or paid opportunities to work with you on your social media. So, you know, that is where we might have to look at, you know, these social media platforms and how they're rewarding people for creating content that may be exaggerated or upplayed or, you know, performing in these ways.
What kind of impact can misleading or glamorized mental health content have on people who are genuinely struggling?
It's with social media, it's a blanket of information. It's not personally tailored to you. So it's on that topic of parasocial relationships. You know, the relationship is one-sided with the consumer to the creator. So, you know, if we see this person that we idolize or that we really admire, we can feed into that and maybe want to be more like that and want to embody more of that ourselves. And then it leaves that gap. As you said, that step there is missing for accurate support, accurate information, you know, that part of mental health and, you know, psychological services and therapy that we all experience, where we can't see our own blind spots. We need that support of someone else to help us and show us what's going on personally to us, to our lives and what we're experiencing. So, you know, when it's maybe glamorized or that content is glamorized, you know, that genuine struggle that I'm sure so many listeners can relate to gets missed, and maybe the value and the importance of that can sometimes get looked over.
And the trivialization as well, because often I would see, even we have done research on this show before, but even before I started in this job, one of the projects I did in the past was about the trivialization of obsessive compulsive disorder in media, because people don't actually completely understand what that is as a disorder, and then have gone on to misinform followers perhaps, or people engaging with their content about symptoms, and can be very alienating to people who are genuinely suffering with it. They're like, that's not the reality at all. And then also you have the double-edged sword of that, if somebody is possibly suffering with something, in this case OCD, they won't necessarily even recognize themselves in those symptoms because they've been trivialized. It's obviously important that genuine mental health conversations continue to happen openly, and that is a huge thing that's important to remember here. Talking about this type of stuff on social media can really help people go on to get diagnosed themselves, or be able to be more self-aware and perhaps pick up on things that could potentially make, you know, could be improved on or could be worked on, that could help make their life easier. How do you balance awareness with responsibility?
Look, I think that's a really big task that I think there's so many stakeholders in. I think there's so many people in this huge web of mental health on social media that have a huge responsibility. But, you know, to the average day-to-day person that's just consuming, you know, information online, it is kind of developing maybe that relationship with yourself and thinking, you know, what is this information that's being placed in front of me? What is the purpose of it? You know, is it something that I want to resonate with? Is it something that I want to welcome into my life? And if that is the case, it's what is the necessary and appropriate steps to take this information from social media, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking information from social media. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it's, what are we doing after that? Like, what are the effective steps that we want to take in place? So I think in terms of that, you know, that responsibility and that awareness is maybe, you know, being familiar with what are the steps now that I need to take if I'm, say, like that, going through content and I see someone with ADHD and I'm resonating with it, you know, what is my responsibility here in terms of the correct steps? It's reaching out to maybe a GP. It's reaching out to a therapist. It's exploring avenues to where I can take this conversation further, where I have more of a personal tie into it and the information is more tailored to myself, as opposed to just a generic social media video that probably thousands of people are seeing.
Finally, Chloe, what do you think healthier conversations around mental health online should actually be looking like going forward now?
Look, I don't think I'm the person to say, you know, what it should be, but I think in terms of my own experience with having mental health conversations online, the approach I like to take is being very, if I do say so myself, normal and human about it, and very much emphasizing that while this might be my experience, it can be very different for someone else. We all have different journeys, different walks of life, different experiences. We can all experience the same thing and have different effects. So I think it's very much, you know, being human and being normal and sharing our honest view in it, but also, you know, having that responsibility around critically analysing this information in front of us. And is it something that, as I said, we want to welcome into our lives? Or is it something that's just a video I enjoyed watching, happy to like a comment and then move on with my life? But I think it's very important to remain human in all of it and normal in the grand scheme of things.
Chloe, where can we find you on socials if people want to follow along with you?
Of course. So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @RUL_therapy. And I'd love to have you over there.
Chloe, thank you so much, as usual, for joining me on iRadio's group chat, and I'm sure we will chat again.
Thank you so much.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.